Well, you could take your Bibles and turn to Philippians. On Monday, that's when we started this, on Monday. And I don't know about for you, but this has gone so quickly for me. On Monday, we heard about God's prevailing word. And although I told you to go to Philippians, the first verse is just on the banner behind me. In Acts 19:20, it says, "So mightily grew the word of God," and what?
Prevailed.
This word prevailed is really awesome in the word. To look at the different places it's used and the different records and the other words it's translated as. This word prevailed means to be strong. That's clear, right? And physical health and mental power have efficacy. That's pretty great. To have power, as shown by extraordinary deeds. And why not? Because we're not ordinary. We're extraordinary. So that word prevailed, to have power as shown by extraordinary deeds. It's to have strength to overcome. You know, so maybe you're in a wrestling match, but you have the strength to overcome and pin the enemy. That's to prevail against them. It's to be a force. To prevail is to be a force. And it's to avail. And these two last little ones are great. Prevail is to be able. And this last one leads us to Philippians, where it simply means can. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I know how to say strengthen it. That was just, you know, acting out a little bit. So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The word do is the same exact word as prevailed in Acts 19:20. I can prevail in all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How awesome is that? You can prevail. God's word can prevail, and you can prevail. That's just tremendous. In the English dictionary, you know, the previous biblical usage that I gave you was in the Bible, the English dictionary, the word prevail is to gain ascendancy through strength or superiority to triumph. They prevailed. They triumphed. It's to become effectual or effective. These are to use persuasion successfully to prevail. You know, you persuaded somebody and that's what prevailed. It's to predominate and to persist. And some of the synonyms in the dictionary are really cool. To conquer, to triumph and win. So this word prevailed, you know, Jerry selected the theme of this week when he told us we were in charge. And what a topic. What a way to look at the word from the word's perspective, that God's prevailing word, you know. So in the Old Testament, this word is used as well. And the first usage of it is in Genesis chapter 7, which we'll look at here. Genesis 7. It says, and the waters prevailed. This word prevailed is obviously a different word than in the New Testament because it's the Hebrew, but it's just the same definition, really. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up, or went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. What a mind picture. And then in verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits is about 22.5 feet above the highest mountain. In verse 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. Do you understand the waters covered the earth? They prevailed. The waters prevailed over all the hills and all the mountains. What a mind picture is that of something prevailing. In fact, this banner here, you see the mountains? This is just so great because, you see, we have perspective here. This is also a mountain with the trees on, but in the distance, look, there are the mountains. So the highest one, the water line went about 22 and a half feet above that and covered the whole earth, which in perspective would have went over this and just covered the whole deal. And God's word prevailing, think of that. What a mind picture that is. And I submit to you that it is God's will that his word prevail over the whole world, over everything, over every country, over every place in the whole world. And it's allowing this word to prevail in our lives in the same way. And I don't know, God just made it so simple for me to understand that each mountain in our life, whether it be our own feelings about something, you know, that kicks up like this, right? As like a mountain in our life. And then something else like our own stupidity, you know, that the word of God would prevail over that hill or mountain of our own feelings and emotions in our life, that it would prevail and surpass or be above our own history, our own past, what has happened to us in our life. Well, God's word can prevail over that. Or our own logic. Oh, you're so smart. You read so much. You know everything, right? God's word needs to prevail over that mountain of our own intellect. It needs to be above that and prevail over that. And it needs to prevail over our own fears. Maybe you have a fear that's so big, 22.5 feet over that fear, God's word prevails. And when it prevails over us, each one win one, that's how it can actually prevail over the entire world. God's word, in if you look and search and search and search, it doesn't say it's over. We're still in this. It'll be over at the gathering. It's still available for that to happen. It's available for that to happen. And that's what's so exciting, that we have a vision for that word of God prevailing. Psalm 103. God's prevailing word, Psalm 103:11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great, that's the same word as prevail, So great is his mercy toward them that respect him or fear him. So here's our sins, a mountain of our sins. God's mercy prevails and is great over that, you see. It's just covers everything. The word great is the word prevail there. In Psalm 117, verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great. It prevails toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So that merciful kindness of God prevails over our naughtiness. James 5:16. Look at this, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be what?
Healed.
Look at that. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What brought me to this verse? The word availeth is prevails. It prevails. It availeth much. It's to have power to show by extraordinary deeds. When we pray, are you righteous?
Yes.
Especially at this camp, me asking you that, right? After what I shared about all that stuff, you're righteous. Do you believe you're righteous?
Yes.
So when you pray, that prayer availeth much. That prayer prevails. That's that word. So when we pray, we need to have that confidence and assurance that it prevails because we know we're righteous. If you had to earn answered prayer, it wouldn't really work. But we don't earn anything. We know we're righteous. We have confidence in God, and God delivers. That's his deal. That's what he does. You can sit there right now. Let's just do it for a sec here. Let's pray for Jimmy and Rebecca's daughter, all of us right now. Claire. Now pray for Karen Chatton. That's it, man. We're righteous. There's power there that we unleash in prayer with believing. It's great. And Tuesday, that was Monday. That was Monday. Tuesday, we heard about acts of love, and it was really just God's acts of love to us. It wasn't about us doing a damn thing. Just God's heart towards us and what he's done for us and his act of love toward us and giving his only begotten son for us. Joe read us John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's heart for his children is just so beautiful. It's the best vision for a life ever. And the adversary's vision for a life is the exact opposite of God's. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, it's worth going there. It says, charity never faileth. The word charity is the love of God. Charity never faileth. You want to talk about something prevailing all the time? We have something that never fails. Charity, the love of God. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But that is just amazing that we have something that never fails. Charity, the love of God. The adversary is a failure. He's just throwing mud at the sun. Picture him as a little widget on the floor trying to throw mud at the sun. It doesn't get on the sun. It just falls right back on his head. He's the failure of all failures. But we have the love of God, which never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. And I remember the first time I was asked this question, which one is the greatest? I said, believing. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest. It never fails. We're free to love and be loved by God. And we hold and cherish our freedoms. We should in this country anyway, because as soon as you stop wanting your freedom, it's going to be taken away from you. And we have the freedom of speech in this country to speak God's word. We have freedom of religion to believe what we want, not what someone else makes us believe. And we have the freedom of assembly to gather like this without somebody breaking us up, right? The government's supposed to protect these rights, but they're God-given rights. They're God-given deals. And within our fellowships that Albert so beautifully displayed with such heart, you know, we have the freedom to speak God's word and bring people to fellowship. We have the freedom to believe what we want to believe in our fellowship. And we have the freedom to get together and meet in our fellowship. And that's just awesome for us to have God's love that he extended toward us without us doing anything. Just being born. That was it. That's all it took. Wednesday, we talked about believing action. And our response to that love of God that God has toward us should be to what? Believe it. Just accept it as true and believe it. So awesome. We could actually believe something that we don't totally understand and enjoy something without totally understanding it. And, you know, like things like electricity and stuff. How does stuff go through wires? I don't really know. But I sure do enjoy air conditioning. Yeah. You know? So believing, it's not hard. You don't have to understand everything in order to believe it. You just accept it as true because it's from God. And you can spend your life unfolding it and perceiving it to understand it. But you can believe it right off. Okay, it's true. Yeah, I got it. It's mine. Word of God, I shared it at the camp little meeting we had in the beginning, but we should be like a sponge and saturate our heart with the word. And I know you've all probably washed a car with one of those big sponges, right, where you dip it in the bucket. It's totally dry and, like, kind of hard. But when you dip it in the bucket, it gets saturated, and you lift it up, and it's just pouring out, right? And then you put it over someone's head, and you just turn it, right? We should be so filled with God's word that it just pours out of us. That's manifesting, Holy Spirit. It just pours out where God shows you what to say. And it's not like God said, hey, Dean, come over here. Go say this. And then you go over there. Okay, God, I'm going to say it. It may be like that, but probably not. Because in a moment's time, you need to have the words at that moment when you need them. That's God pouring out, showing you what to say, what you can do. In Colossians, which Jesse covered, about Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the mind of Christ. All the thoughts he had in his mind regarding God and his word, we do. It's not a secret. He wasn't on some other private deal with God where we don't know. We do know. We have what he had, spirit, and that mystery is revealed. The importance of believing who we are. And we know that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we perceive it and understand it and know it. And we claim our birthright. We're not going to be a fool and just let it go. We claim our birthright, that legal authority, the entitlement, the privilege, the advantage, the liberty, the power to walk as sons of God. And you can study this stuff till you're blue in the face and it profit you nothing unless you believe it and walk out on it. And that's just a huge point to understand. It's not just about getting the knowledge of it. It's about believing it as you go and putting it on. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to go there. It's fine. Just relax. Relax. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And that's us. So we can manifest his power. We've been given authority in this life. And this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? That word mighty, guess what word it is? Prevail. It's the root word of prevail. God's mighty power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? And that's all of us. That's us. Because we believe according to the working of his mighty power. Exercise force, able, avail, can do. That's the stuff that we have in us. So when we walk like this with believing, we have this fruit in our life, this light shining bright as beacons in this world. And that's pretty attractive to people. You know, people that want to not settle for the crap the adversary has for them, they look at you and they're like, that's nice. What's going on there? You know, like, you know, Jerry's bar friend. He saw something there and he should see it in every single one of us. Because that's what we have in our heart. It's just pouring out. And Thursday, which was yesterday, it was outreach, go tell, speaking God's word. And when you have this word of God in your heart and you're believing it, it's just going to fall out. It's just going to come out of your mouth where you speak it. It just oozes out like that saturated sponge that wherever you put it down and you lift it up, that's going to be a wet spot. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. You ever feel like that? Were you just toasty? But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shot up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Man, why wouldn't we just want to tell everyone about what we've got? If we don't, honestly, you're pretty freaking selfish to not give what you got. You've been freely given. Freely give. You know, It just flows out. 1 Peter 4. Verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Ability is also the root word for prevail. So let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. It's great. Let him speak as the oracles of God. We have God's word. God's word has been speaking for a long time. It's alive, God's word is. It's kind of like Yoda would say. It's not words on a page that are just like every other library book. In my college, I remember going in the sort of the back aisles and pulling out books off the shelf with the dust on the spine of the book and all, or the top, and then you open it up and it's like yellow, and it's just dead words about nothing really. But this word of God is alive. It's God's word. It's been speaking for a long time. And it speaks to us in our heart. And then we speak it out. God threw the first rock in the pond, and the waves are going out through time and through generations. And we are part of the family of God that God has longed for and waited for. All the different believers throughout time, all the different men of God and wonderful believers that the Bible talks about are written in the book of life. And now we're here. We're the same people, God's people. We're not different people. We're God's people. So that's what we have. We're part of God's family, and we speak his word. And the last, Acts 4 here. Acts 4, 29. It says here, this is that great prayer that they prayed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with what?
Boldness.
They prayed about signs and wonders. We don't pray just to see them. And that's a huge difference, that it's just to see them. We pray that we can do them and see them. So we really have to speak God's word if we really love. If we really, really love, we'll end up speaking the word. Because if you have a friend or a family member that you care about, you're going to speak God's word to them. And that's the best chance that anyone in this world has to a life, is us. Because we hold God's word in our heart. We gladly received it here at this weekend, and that was so evident to see. You guys were all chomping at the bit. And, you know, this word of God, as Bob just displayed, it's attainable for it to move over the whole world. That is not some lofty goal that's, you know, a fantasy or some kind of abstract picture that's unattainable. It is attainable, and it can happen, and it's God's heart. That's what he wants, for his word to prevail, to help us. So, yeah. You guys, we're God's people here on earth, the salt of the earth. There's no better people. When you believe everything that God has said, this is it. We're it. Look around. This is it. The family of God. We got this. God's given us the privilege. So with that, Jerry's going to come up and bless us with something. Let's see. Love you.